Have you seen the bumper sticker, "In case of rapture, this car will be unmanned"? Or perhaps, "After the rapture, can I have your car?" Many believe that in the near future, Christians who are going about their daily business of working, shopping, at school, or driving will suddenly disappear. They're gone, raptured away. Now, is this what your Bible teaches? On Beyond Today, we'll explore the origins of the rapture theory, we'll discover what information Jesus Christ left behind, and most importantly, determine how this should change your life today. Stay tuned with us as we discuss the rapture, fact or fiction.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Millions have read novels about the rapture. They say families will be shocked by the strange disappearance of a father, mother, or child. Planes will crash since pilots have vanished. Driverless cars will collide in the streets, and only clothing and unworthy loved ones are left behind. Now, is this what your Bible teaches? Is this idea of the rapture fact or fiction? Now, many popular books and movies are based on this disputed doctrine that essentially teaches that Jesus Christ will come initially to snatch believers away to heaven, leaving the rest behind. Now, stop right there. That says something very interesting, doesn't it? We live in a time when many people are comfortable getting their knowledge of religion secondhand. Now, what do I mean? Many allow a movie or a novel or a video to define what they believe. Now, okay, stay with me for just a minute and let me explain what I mean. The problem is they don't go to the source. Should a popular novel or a movie be the foundation for what you believe? No. You can't afford to neglect your personal responsibility to look into it and prove the truth. Now, if you're willing to go beyond entertainment and take a careful look to the right starting point, you'll see that the rapture theory doesn't really stand up to the scrutiny of the Word of God. Example, fact or fiction? The rapture is recorded in the book of Revelation, right? Wrong. That's fiction. Did you know that there's no mention of the rapture anywhere in the book of Revelation? Now, you may believe that Bible prophecy teaches the rapture. But fact or fiction? The word rapture can't even be found in the Bible. That's a fact. Did you know that the word rapture isn't even in the Bible? You see, just because millions of books have been sold about it, doesn't make it true. Now, as we begin, let's notice what many believe about the rapture. The doctrine of the rapture incorrectly teaches that somehow Christ is going to secretly come and approach the earth, but he won't actually return to it. And what he'll do is he'll seize true believers. He'll rapture them and change them into spirit and then transport them to safety in heaven. And up in heaven, that's where they'll wait out the tribulation and all the difficulties that will be happening on the earth. Now, the only evidence that it's occurred is the fact that the Christians are gone. They're raptured away. And so the overall concept is that Christ literally snatches or abducts them or seizes those Christians up from the earth years before Jesus actually returns to earth. Now, since the word rapture isn't found in the Bible, where did all this come from? Where did this idea of a supernatural sudden removal of believers originate? Well, Jesus' disciples taught the doctrine of the rapture. Fact or fiction? No, that's not true. Did you know that the rapture is not even mentioned in any valid historical document before the 19th century? The fact is that this word rapture and this whole concept, it's a new doctrine. It didn't come to light until early in the 19th century. And you know, it's interesting. How did it happen? Where did it come from? Well, it seems that a 15-year-old English girl, Margaret MacDonald, had a vision with the idea of the rapture. By 1830, a British journal published that revelation. The publisher was Edward Irving. He was a charismatic preacher who began to publicly teach those ideas. Now, next thing that happened was an Irishman, John Darby. He was a minister in the Church of England. And he developed it, he expanded this theory of the secret rapture, and he merged it into his prophetic teachings. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Do you know who gave the rapture theory its biggest boost? Cyrus Schofield. In fact, you've probably heard of the Schofield Bible. In 1909, Schofield published the reference Bible that consisted of his commentary included in the text of the Bible. It also included the secret rapture of the church into its study notes. And so, you know what this did? This validated the idea of the rapture. It promoted the premise of the rapture. Now, you should believe Schofield because he was a doctor of theology. Fact or fiction? That's fiction. In fact, he gave himself a theological doctorate degree. He never attended any theological school. He had no formal Bible training whatsoever. So, there's hardly any doubt that Schofield produced his reference Bible only for the purpose of spreading Darby's rapture doctrine. So, does it make you wonder about the accuracy of the rapture theory? It should. By the time you get to the 1970s, we find the first modern writer to popularize this idea. Now, if we fast forward to just 15 years ago, we find the idea of the secret rapture repopularized in the Left Behind series. Now, these books sensationalize. They capitalize on people's concerns, on their worries and their fears of world problems and their confusion about prophecy. So these stories are based on the idea that Christians will suddenly disappear when Christ secretly and he swiftly takes them away from the tribulation on the earth. And of course, the ones that are left behind, those are the atheists. And they'll be baffled by the Christians who've mysteriously disappeared. Now you add in political and sexual intrigue, and that message just spreads to a very wide audience. And so the question is the Left Behind series fact or fiction? Well, they claim some biblical basis, but the truth is, it's fiction. They were written for anyone interested in a fascinating story, and they can be fascinated, but fiction. And so does the fact that millions of books have been sold make it true? It doesn't. They don't explain the scriptural basis for the doctrine, and they don't show how to prove it from the Bible. So when it comes to the truth, it leaves you with questions and confused. But do you wonder about what is truly going to happen? Are you unsure of the answers? Remember, you have to go to the source for the real story, and that source is your Bible. Many mistakenly claim that the rapture is a part of Bible prophecy. And, of course, there's no doubt that prophecy reveals information about the future. But it can be difficult to know where to start. So to help, we have a free booklet. It's You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. Now, this booklet will help you really get a handle on what prophecy is all about. This booklet is absolutely free. And it'll make it easier for you to unlock a proper understanding of prophecy. You can go online to beyondtoday.tv to download it. You can read it online, or you can order your free copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. So click or call us toll-free. Even the call is free. 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Prophecy is one of the most intriguing subjects in the Bible, because it tells us specifically how God will intervene in world affairs. Now, you don't want to be left unaware of what the future holds. Your copy's waiting for you. It's absolutely free. Click or call, toll free, 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv to download it, read it, or order your free copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. Now, you may be somewhat acquainted with prophecy. This booklet will help you to truly understand it. Now, if you're on the social networks, you can follow us on Twitter and join our Beyond Today Facebook page. Now, some 20 to 40 million people believe there is a coming rapture. They say the righteous will be spirited away to heaven while the godless remain on the earth. But what will become of all the pets? Now, believe it or not, for a fee, there's a service out there that will place your dog or your cat in the home of a caring atheist at the rapture. Now, some books have been written, some are pretty satirical, but they take advantage of those who mistakenly believe in such a doctrine. And you could guess that, of course, you pay in advance. Now, does your Bible really teach of a time when Christians will be whisked away to heaven? Now, there be that time in the future that will really happen? Is that fact or is that fiction? No, it's fiction. Now you may say, there must be a place in the Bible where the teaching of the rapture is based. Now that is true. The main argument is based on one scripture. And that scripture is found over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 17, notice what it says. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. You see, some claim that this verse has a linguistic basis for the word rapture. Now, here's why. The Greek for shall be caught up, that phrase, shall be caught up, was translated into the Latin word rapere. And that Latin word literally means to seize or to abduct or to snatch. And so from this one solitary word comes the whole artificial construct of the rapture theory. So we got to ask, does the original Greek word for caught up express the sense of an abduction or a seizure? You see, it doesn't. It actually combines the ideas of force and suddenness seen in the irresistible power of God. That's from the Tyndale New Testament commentaries. So what we find is an entire doctrine that's based on a misunderstanding. Remember, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That can only come from God. So how can we better understand what this particular verse really means? And why would such a strong word be used? Well, first, we've got to notice the context of the passage. You know, what is all around this particular verse, and why did the Apostle Paul write this section of Scripture? Well, why did he do it? He had to answer concerns of the Thessalonian Christians. They were grieving. They were hurt over the unexpected deaths of their members, of their family. Why? Because they thought that Jesus would return in their lifetime. They were caught unprepared for the death of the faithful people. You see, they weren't worried about whether Christ would return and rescue them. They weren't worried about their safety in the end of the age tribulation. And they certainly weren't neglecting their spiritual readiness. We can know this by looking back at verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He writes, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Literally, those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So is it fact or fiction? The topic is those Christians who have died. You see, that's a fact. God will bring the dead back to life. Let's go on. Verse 14. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So did you notice the time reference here? It says bring with him. That is the second coming of Christ. Did he mean an approach by Christ or a rapture? No. It could only be referring to Jesus' second coming. You see, his point is that those who have died are not at any disadvantage at all. No wonder the Thessalonians could have hope, because all Christians, living or dead, are included in those verses. In fact, look at verse 16. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." And so we see this verse is talking about a resurrection. It's not talking about a rapture. And it's certainly not a secret. The return of Christ is heralded by the seventh trumpet. There's shouting going on. And so true Christians, dead and alive, join the returning Christ in the air. That is, in the clouds, in the atmosphere of the earth, not in the heaven of God's throne. You see, it's talking about the first resurrection. That's the main subject when we read the entire context of this particular section of Scripture. And why did he use such a powerful, strong word? Because he wanted to reassure God's people that at Christ's return, God was going to unite the believers who were still alive with those who had already died. You see, the dead won't be left behind in any way. So, fact or fiction? When this verse says we'll meet the Lord in the air, it means that Christ will make a pass near the earth and snatch those few people away and take them to heaven. No, that's not there, is it? That's fiction. This word for meet, this is a very interesting word. It seems that the special idea of the word was the official welcome of a newly arrived dignitary. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary says that this word refers to when a king enters his city, the loyal go forth to meet him. Also, the word meet is used of the official reception given to a visiting governor whom his citizens escort into the city from which they've come to meet him. So, when we put all of it together, it becomes very clear. When Jesus returns, true Christians will be resurrected and rise to meet the King of Kings. As an escort of honor, they'll officially welcome the newly arriving king, and they'll accompany him back to the earth where he'll rule from Jerusalem. They're destined to reign and to rule with Jesus Christ in his fantastic kingdom. So that's what that passage in 1 Thessalonians is all about. I mean, imagine the celebration. Imagine the excitement. And so it's no wonder that God's people could be encouraged with what the truth really is. Now, there's also another aspect to consider. Is it fact or is it fiction? Did Jesus pray to the Father not to take us out of the world? Did you know that's a fact? You can read it for yourself in John chapter 17, verse 15. It's interesting that Jesus prayed to the Father, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." Now that's just the opposite of the rapture. The Bible doesn't promise that God will take believers to heaven and protect them from the troubles to come. In fact, he prayed for our protection from evil while we're here on earth. And so if Jesus asked the Father not to take us, we're not going. There's no doubt Christ will return. But be careful not to read into those prophecy words and ideas that just aren't in Scripture. There is no rapture. There is a second coming. Now, there's so much more to discuss on this topic. Up next, we'll be talking with the Beyond Today panel. But first, you've got to get this special free offer. It's the Good News Magazine. This magazine contains important articles to help you understand the accuracy of topics like the rapture. What does the Bible teach about future prophecy? And how do you make sense of it? The Good News will give you the insight into those issues. That's why you need your free subscription to The Good News. It will help you with answers. Even the call is free, 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Remember, you can also visit us on the web at beyondtoday.tv, where you can search online for hundreds of related articles in our literature archives. Now, the Good News Magazine not only examines world events and Bible prophecy, but articles will also help you with your everyday life. So get your free subscription today. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv. God has an amazing plan for mankind and for you personally. Understand it better by getting your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter, and you can join our Beyond Today Facebook page. Now, we've been discussing the popular idea of the rapture. Will Jesus return as a thief to take his people away secretly? And if so, why can't you find the rapture in the Bible? Well, it's time for our Beyond Today panel to discuss the topic. So joining me now, our fellow hosts of the program, Dearest McNeely and Gary Petty. Now, I had spoke earlier about the misinterpretation of one of those passages that are used to prove the rapture, 1 Thessalonians, and we see the fallacy behind that. Now, there's another one that's often cited, and it's over in the book of Matthew. It's Matthew 24, verse 36, and it says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Now, when we consider that particular verse, some claim, boy, that obviously is talking about the rapture. Well, why not? What does it really mean?
Well, just look at what it does say, Steve. It's really talking about, it's emphasizing the fact of the uncertainty of the time that no one knows. Several times, Christ referred to the fact that no one knows the hour or the day of his return, not even the Son of Man. It is in the hands of the Father only. So he's emphasizing that no one knows. So it's useless to speculate or to dwell on that, trying to find out and to determine when Christ is going to return, which sometimes is a little bit of an adjunct to the idea of the rapture. But he's also emphasizing, be prepared, be alert, be spiritually prepared for the times and even of our own life. He's also talking of...
That part you're talking about, like it was this watch.
Watch.
That's referring to that being ready.
Being alert, being spiritually prepared. And it's also speaking to a time of... There's a judgment. At the resurrection, which is the truth of the Scriptures, there is a time when there will be a separation in one sense. It's a time of judgment. And so that's what also Jesus is referring to. One will be left, one will be taken in that sense. Not up into a rapture type of an idea, but it's really speaking to the judgment of God upon mankind.
You know, Darius, you're talking about context. It's very important to look at what Jesus says here in context. Let me borrow your Bible a second here. You were talking about... Well, you're reading starting around verse 36. If you go back just a little bit before that, verse 30, Jesus said, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they will gather the elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other." Now, that's not a secret. That's right. Something everybody sees. So the idea of a secret rapture, people just disappearing in the context, that's not what Jesus is talking about at all. He's talking about his second coming and in power and glory, and all nations see it.
And you got trumpets, you got blasting and noise, and people are going to be obviously noticing something's going on.
Exactly right.
So there's no secret. But one of the things that some will argue is that it's kind of like there's stages that Christ comes back and then takes these believers away, and then sometime later, after all the troubles have been going on the earth, they come back. And maybe that's what that's referring to. But how do we know that that's not the case, that there isn't stages?
If you try to do that, you're reading something into the Scriptures regarding the return of Christ that is not there. The Scriptures that talk about Christ's return are so very plain. Revelation 11 and verse 15, for one, says that at the time of Christ's return, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ. They all speak to a wholesale changeover that is dramatic, that is sudden during that time of Christ's appearing, his second coming. And there's nothing that indicates stages that is being discussed there. The whole idea of that one scripture that you referred to of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 of people rising to meet Christ in the air, you brought it out so well. There's a very interesting example of this. In the modern nation of Jordan, the ancient city of Jerash is there. And there at Jerash, they have a huge triumphal arch that was built during the Roman period, during the time of the reign of the Emperor Hadrian, who was paying a visit to the city of Jerash. And you can see that today. It's been reconstructed, and you can get a visual of how that the city fathers, the city officials, would have gone out through that gate to meet the coming emperor.
Right,
outside the city, to meet him at a distance and to escort him back into the city of Jerash on his official visit, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul was talking about there in 1 Thessalonians 4 to describe the saints rising in the air to meet Christ at his coming and then to return back to this earth to accompany him as the King of Kings. It's a beautiful picture to illustrate exactly what Paul knew what he was talking about. It was not to take us up into heaven in some stages like that of a rapture. That you have to read.
They didn't go out and meet the dignitary and go somewhere else. They met him.
They brought him back into the city.
Okay. There's two other things to think about in 1 Thessalonians 4, comparing to Matthew 24. Both happened at the sound of a trumpet, and in first, so they're the same event.
Same event.
And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, the people who are alive don't precede those who have already died. Mm-hmm. So the resurrection happens at the same time. They're not two different events. They're not two different stages.
Now, one of the things that can kind of get mixed up into this whole thing is this idea of the protection in the tribulation. And there's a section in Matthew here, Matthew 24:21, same chapter in the Bible, it says something interesting. It says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." So how does that fit in? Does that mean you're going to be whisked off to heaven to be protected from that? Or
No. It's, again, it just says, it means what it says, that God is going to save flesh, human life, in the midst of this world.
So the world's not going to be destroyed, in other words.
While someone is looking on, no.
Is it fair to say then that people are trying to read meaning into this instead of just taking it for what it says?
For face value. This isn't about Christians somehow just escaping and being saved by Christ. This is about Christ coming back to save the whole world.
And he's coming back, so that's why it matters to us. I mean, why should our viewers be concerned about it? What difference does it make?
Because it puts the emphasis upon the individual to change.
To be prepared.
The idea of the rapture gets us very self-centered, thinking only on ourselves, saving our own skin to the exclusion of others. We get into self-righteousness.
Yeah, so there's important things that we need to have some help maybe to understand a little bit more thoroughly. So remember our free offers today. They're designed to help you in your studies. You Can Understand Bible Prophecy will help you really grasp the truth about Jesus' return. It doesn't have to be a mystery. The booklet's free, and it's written to help you know the facts. There's four ways you can get it. You can read it online at beyondtoday.tv, or you can download it. You can order your free copy of You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, or you can call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 and order your free booklet. And of course, don't forget your subscription to the Good News Magazine. It's a magazine that will help you understand Bible prophecy and how it applies to what's going on in our world. It's not only that the good news will help you with prophecy, but it'll help you get to know your God even better with all kinds of articles that are relevant to your life. Are you ready for some good news? Get your subscription absolutely free by calling us toll-free, 1-888-886-8632, or go online to beyondtoday.tv to download it, read it online, or order your free subscription. And don't forget our Beyond Today Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Now, the idea of Christians being secretly raptured to heaven, it's a false teaching. Remember, just because millions of books have been sold about the subject doesn't make it true. There's a frightening time of world trouble that lies ahead, but your Bible teaches that Jesus will come again and set the world right. He will resurrect his people, people like you who obey his commands. When he returns, we can meet him in the air and escort him back to the earth to reign and rule with him. So now's the time to do something about it. It's time to act, repent, and obey God. Don't get caught up in the fictitious idea of a secret rapture. That's a false teaching that should be left behind. Well, that's our program for today. Don't forget about our free offers, and be sure to join us next time here on Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.